I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Danny, who is now with us. So Danny is the steward of what I think is becoming a more and more fun practice offering, which is the weekly Cantalumba blog that comes from Teresa and team in Zambia. And Danny is the magic behind making that available to us every week and getting it up online. And since it's been such a fun thing, since the Ridgewalk campaign started just a couple of weeks ago, we thought it would be fun to talk to you about it. So thanks for being with us this afternoon.
My pleasure, Jen. I'm really happy to be here, and especially because egocentric karmic conditioning for the last several years has been trying to terrify me with the prospect that one day I might be invited to be on Good News Update. And in the last 24 hours since that has happened, I've experienced nothing but excitement and eagerness.
Oh, well, that's very fun in itself, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, but there's this whole story. You know, we're in the middle of it. There is nothing wrong with your retreat, and that's just so perfect. It's illustrated over and over and over again that there's a whole story of how we are and how it's going to be and how what we have to avoid and tries to make our lives very, very small. And in fact, it's all just completely made up, and it's all just a big, exciting adventure.
Exactly. And also in keeping with one of our recent themes about whatever conditioning says the opposite is true.
Yes, exactly. The world of opposites. Yeah. So let's take at least a few minutes here. I don't want to cut too much into the radio show, but I do want to talk about those really fun blogs that have been coming through from Cantalumba. So since you kind of have the front row seat, the firsthand knowledge, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's coming through.
Sure. When you say what's coming through, you mean content? What they're
Yeah.
about these days?
Either way, what they're about and what you see about it and kind of what inspired
Yeah.
you to be involved in it and all of the above.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk about what's been coming through lately, which is just so much inspiring. I find myself so inspired by the reports that have been coming through lately about how much reading is catching on and how excited and enthusiastic people in Cantalumba at the property are, how excited they are about reading and a couple things in particular, the Stay in School program, which is a team of girls who are especially vulnerable to dropping out of school and to follow a path that's all too common for girls their age. They have vowed to stay in school, and the program there is helping them, is helping support them and give them whatever resources they can to help them stay in school. And I just find that very inspiring and
Me too.
uplifting.
Me too. So much fun. And just to see how inspired they are, you know, they're up against a really hard thing. They're in a place that in so many ways doesn't support that. And so to see their determination is just really moving.
Yes, indeed. And then another little vignette that came through this last week was the father of one of the children in the program came to the property and volunteered to help do whatever was needed 3 days in a row because he was so grateful for the improvement in reading that his child was demonstrating.
Isn't that just goosebumps all over? Wow.
Talk
Yeah.
about gratitude wants to give.
Exactly. And you know, there's another parent who just stepped forward. They're going to be doing a renovation, kind of upgrading the kitchen facility a little bit. And that there's a bricklayer, he's a bricklayer by trade, whose children are in the program, and he stepped forward to say, any bricklaying work you need done on it, I'll do for free.
Oh my gosh, that's
Yeah.
just amazing. So,
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
it's certainly what, I mean, I experienced the same thing. I mean, for me, being a steward of this is is one of the many expressions for me of gratitude, wanting to give, that I am so grateful for this practice. I'm grateful for the Africa program that I personally find so inspiring, and so being able to help make the blog happen is just a gift. It's a gift to me to be able to help make that happen.
And then what you're doing every week is something that puts that information out to the whole Sangha, which inspires them to participate. And, I mean, the image that comes up as you're talking is the circle with no remainder. You know, it's just that everyone is giving, thinking that they're the recipient. And that's the thing I love about it. It hasn't come out yet. But Teresa took this fabulous picture. The kids made a big poster of how many words they had read. You know, they're so excited, so proud. It was something like 20,835 words, which imagine for these guys. I mean, they're reading, you know, the cat.
A word at a time, yeah.
You know, sat down on a mat. I mean, right, 5 and 6 words at a time. They read 20,000 words. I'm thinking to myself, oh, they might need our help to get to 52 million. But that's not the point. So they made this huge poster and took their picture with it, you know, so proud, because they know that we're doing the 52 million steps over here for the wristwatch season. And that's inspiring them to go, well, we want to do our part. So they're doing this thing that completely benefits them. We're doing this thing that completely benefits us. And it's just this whole amazing loop of gratitude.
Indeed. It's like the t-shirt that I was fortunate enough to get one of that says, the more you give, the more you get. The more that you give, the more you receive. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. So, Danny, I'm so glad it finally worked out. Thanks for persevering.
My pleasure.
And I'm really so pleased that you finally got to go up against that story, that it would be terrifying to be on the Good News. So congratulations on that.
Thanks. No, it's been wonderful, and thanks for having me. And, grateful to the whole, gratitude to the whole Sangha.
Yeah, and much gratitude to you for the part that you play in bringing us the news every week. So thanks for being with us, and have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Danny.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry. Thanks for your patience.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Danny. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. I guess it's not too much of a hardship to listen to people who are excited about a project we love talk about that project.
Not at all. Not at all.
I didn't suffer too much, did you?
No. And often I can get far into the show before I'm teary, but actually today I'm teary already. So great.
Yeah. I love it. And, you know, I got to say, Danny does have one of the most fun stewarding jobs, because being the first to read what Teresa sends, it's got to be a highlight of the week. So
yes, yeah, I was reading that same story last night. I was telling a friend, and it was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sweet.
Lovely.
So sweet. Yeah.
Lovely.
What? Do you have announcements?
I do.
Don't you love that? Aren't I good with those prompts and
you're excellent.
Those little segues and mm-hmm.
keep me on point and keep each other on point here. It's good.
Keep us all moving along. Yeah, that's me.
There is still room in the Eightfold Path Retreat. That's September 1st through 6th in Pennsylvania.
It's hard to imagine, but there are. I don't know what people are doing out there making these unfortunate choices not to be with us.
Right.
But they seem to be doing it. So thanks for the reminder.
And it's suitable for long-time or brand-new practitioners. Mm-hmm. And it explores the Buddhist roadmap for ending suffering.
And it has all the components of a New Year's retreat, right?
Oh,
guidance
that's fun.
And it has guidance and workshops and good food and all of those things we love when we get together. So,
yeah, I'm sure there's beautiful nature nearby typing. Too.
There is. It's a very pretty place. Yeah.
Lovely.
What else is going on?
Registration is open for this year's Bridge Walk to benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Uh-huh.
And this year our walk is on Saturday, October 4th, and it will be in San Francisco.
Chrissy Field, we're back home.
Yes. Yes.
Mhm. Mhm. I've seen the t-shirt design. Don't want to miss that.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's a very good one again this year.
Can't wait to see it.
Mhm.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events.
Yeah, and people can come see us in, I think it's Dayton, Ohio. I'm pretty sure it's Dayton, Ohio. I'm excited about it. I don't know that I've ever been to Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, great.
So that's fun. And then in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where I have been often in the past, but it's been way too long. So I'm excited to be back there and see those folks. So, you know, can't do the whole retreat, and you live in that area, those would be two good places to come and see us.
Yes, indeed. Yes, mm-hmm. indeed. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's talk to some callers.
Good, good. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Zoe.
This is Lori?
Zoe.
Zoe! Oh, you didn't say enough for me to recognize your voice. How are you, Zoe?
Well, I've been a lot of, I'm surprised to get on. I've been trying for the last few weeks, so.
Well, your name must have just made it up to the top of the list, which is unusual with Z, right? You're not used to being at the top of the list. What's going on?
Well, I've been exploring new depths of the dark room. And
wow.
Yeah, and kind of oscillating, though, and kind of looking at the difference between suffering and sadness.
Uh-huh.
And so there's been a lot of murk and a lot of suffering, like the really levels that I have not experienced in a long time.
Uh-huh. And Zoe, is this, would you call this sadness, or are we talking about depression, or are labels kind of irrelevant?
Kind of all of the above. but... I felt like I realized that I was believing that the circumstances and the content was the cause.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to see that and snapped out of it. And so I'm still in a really teetering sort of a place, you know, where it's like I've stepped out, you know, I could see that and I was so grateful that I could see that and kind of step out of that. I was suffering a lot with a duality and a decision, which is very apt
mm-hmm.
for right now. And I got a lot of help with that from my awareness coach. And then I got so desperate. I wanted to know. I prayed for a sign. And I had this day where I felt good. It was about going to school or not.
Mm.
And I had this day where I had, like, kind of accepted going, you know. I'm like, okay, I'm going, no more. And I had accepted that, and I felt really good. And that was and then I saw a rainbow. And so then I was like,
oh,
okay.
Yeah,
well, that's
Zoe,
nice.
You were sliding into superstition, weren't you?
I know. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And then I prayed again for another sign, and then today I just saw, actually on my way home right before the call, I just saw a double full arc rainbow, and it was gorgeous, and I was like, wow, that was beautiful, you know.
It must be a sign that I'm either to or not to go to school. That's the problem with signs, right?
Oh, I took it as a sign that that I should go, because that was when I saw the first one, was when I had felt like I was accepting going, and I was on that side of the decision.
So two questions. Are you in the email class?
Yes.
Okay, because I've been doing some stuff with people about sadness.
I was interested in that. I read a couple of things about that, and I was curious.
Because and what I was trying to point out, probably not. It's hard with such a few words to try to convey something so complex. Mm-hmm. But there's feeling an emotion, and so something happens. It's something happens that is sad. It's hard for us. It's painful, and we feel the sadness. But when sadness becomes a state, when we start spending a lot of our time feeling sad, then we've got to suspect that what's happening is we're living in a story, which another way we can talk about that is we're being tortured by voices in our head telling us sad things, and keeping us in an orientation to life that is not legitimate. If every day I watch a sad movie and then I feel sad, the thing that somebody who likes you is going to say is, stop watching that movie. It's a movie. It's not real life. So, in your case, I would probably say, get out there and look at those rainbows, because they're a lot more real life than a story about what usually comes down to what's wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that what the story is saying isn't sad. That's not the point. The point is that without the story directing our attention to that life experience, if we were in the present moment, if we were living in this here now, that's not what we would be experiencing. You with me on that one?
I think so.
Does it fit with your experience?
I guess I have a question related, about that. So, and So a lot of times there's just a sadness, and it seems like the sensation is there first, and then it will try to,
pull you into the story.
Yeah, exactly. It'll look for content to fill in to make the emotion make sense.
That's right. There you are.
So I had an thought, and that it was being present to the sensation that is a result of being in a conditioned reality. It gets tricky because I was attempting often to be present to the sensations in the body, right?
That's good. That's a good thing to do.
Okay.
But the sensations in the body are not a story.
Right. Sometimes I felt like the sensations would get overwhelming or something, and I would get kind of maybe drawn into the story. I don't know.
It's really important. This is really, really, really super important. So on one particular year, I'll tell you a little story about me, okay? On one particular year, I lost three of the most important people in my life, one of whom was a dog, okay? But she didn't know she was a dog. And I actually didn't either. So, boom, 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 right in a row. And what I would watch happen is that I would be going along. Now, this is post you know, I've been practicing for a long time when this happened. And I would be going along, and I would be in the present, and there something would trigger. Okay, there would be a smell, or there would be a memory, or there would be a something. And mm-hmm. it would that whole reality of loss would just, you know, descend like an avalanche. And there were times when, I couldn't stand up. I'd have to just sit down where I was. As those feelings would just rush, pour through my body. Okay? And then they would be gone. And I would get up and go about doing whatever I was doing. And that happened repeatedly through the grieving process. But because of practice, what I didn't allow is for it to go into, oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe he's dead. I can't believe she's dead. Oh my God. I can't stand it. It's just, I don't, okay? That was the part we didn't do. We didn't go into any conversations about it shouldn't have happened or I can't stand it or any of those kinds of things because that's what would take me into a story of something wrong.
Perhaps it's a particular skill to develop, then, is what you're saying, to not get, like, to not let the sadness take on a life of its own.
Or be used against you. Because, you know, those voices in the head that torture us love to tell horror stories. You know, it's when parents talk about that there would be these flashes of awful things happening to their children and a story that goes along with it. And it's not real. It's not actually happening, but it's a great way to toss a person into the dark room of suffering for a good long while. If the person doesn't have the skills, and you're right, they are skills that we develop in practice. If a person doesn't have those developed, then that's what's going to happen to them. So for me, the most important, the one that I really want you to get so that you can practice with it is that staying with the sensations is really staying in the body, staying with the feelings. It's not going up into the head for what this means or where it came from or how it happened or what it says about me or what I need to do now. None of that. It's just like watching a musical note pass through the body. It's a vibration.
So, is there some sort of, I don't know, I'm trying to ground that for myself, like, some sort of cutoff of like, okay, this has gone on too long. I mean, I think you had mentioned the Kubler-Ross 22nd idea.
Yes. Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know that, but it is my experience that legitimate emotions, when it's an emotion, they do pass through very quickly. You know, just it's a stab of sadness or anger or whatever the emotion is, disappointment, and then boom, it's picked up by the voices that want to turn it into what this means and what I need to do, and comparing it to, you know, if it's a loss, you know, all of the other losses, or if it's a fear, all of the things that I'm afraid of, or you know, it's anxiety, and then it just goes into an anxiety role. So yeah, separating out what is the actual feeling that I'm feeling and what's the story. The one we stay with for as long as those sensations are there, we can stay with them. And because that's a big part of proving that they don't mean what that story says they mean.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stay with the person in that way, there's a tremendous amount of compassion that's there. When we go with the story, we actually leave the human being having, in this case, whatever experience she's having, and she gets abandoned as we go off with the story and conditioned mind. So to stay with the person, it's, you know, if you had a good friend and she just got some really bad news, then you would be there, you know, you would be there comforting and supporting and, you know, an arm around and holding or that sort of thing. And that's how we want to be with ourselves in those situations. If it were your friend, you wouldn't say, oh, my God, now that he's dead, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what's going to happen to you. You know, there's just no way we would do that. And yet when it happens inside of us and those voices start doing that, we'll tend to go with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's keep talking about it, okay? Because this is big. I mean, it's big for you and it's big for me and for everybody. It's, you know, it's I can't remember how you described where you went to plumbing the depths of the dark room, but it really is going to the deep places where karmic, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate get a person, and it's where the work is.
Yeah, I just feel like I can, I've been really there.
Yeah, and you want to go there? You want to be there with her as she's there? You don't want to leave her stuck there.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
you'll let me know. You're very welcome. Good night, Zoe.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Esther.
Well,
can
hello.
You hear me?
How are you? Yes, I can hear you. How are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. Wow, this is amazing because it's in the middle of the night for me, and I woke up, and I saw the time, and I thought, I'm calling to the show.
I'm up anyway.
Pardon?
I'm up anyway. I might as well call the show.
Right. And
and you got through.
I got through, and I could not believe the subject of the first caller because it is very much in line what you were just talking about. And I was just contemplating, oh, should I hang up now? And then I thought, oh, are they talking to me now? Because this is the first time calling in through this means. But anyway, long story short, it's exactly what's going on in my life right now with respect to the grieving process of the passing of my son. Mm-hmm. And next week will be, it will be a year ago.
Mm.
And I'm very much looking at this process to make the distinction of, okay, is this, you know, pure grieving? And that is, I think, what I experienced that, you know, you can, like, see something or smell something or the most smallest thing that can just trigger the pain, the intense body, what I hear you saying, sensation. And it does pass, and I can be okay again, you know, pretty quickly. And sometimes it's I have what you were describing as an avalanche. And today I was looking at that, and it happened during my sitting meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really looking like, okay, now is this purely feeling, or is, you know, conditioning coming in here? And it was like, no, I think it really is, because I tried to sit for a certain amount of time, and then it's like, it's as if my body just says, okay, this is now enough. Or it's hard to explain, but I thought the way you were laying it out and the questions, it was like, oh, okay, this is helping me further, because I really do want to get as much support I can for this coming period, because of course I know, wow, this is the moment for conditioning to really clobber me, because I do notice that I'm having more difficulty recording and listening. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm even trying to be mild towards myself in that respect, that, okay, I do what I can, and sometimes I can just really, really record and listen, and then I go silent for a while, or, you know, something even goes silent, and I don't know, I'm not exactly sure where I'm going right now, but I'm trying to explain what's actually going on right now. So,
well, yeah. And what you're pointing at that is so helpful for all of us is that it changes. It's ever changing. The when it's not ever changing, we can know that conditioning has it, because conditioning will make the same cases, make the same points, say the same things, want us to focus on the same experience over and over and over. But when it's an experience in life, it's ever new, right? So with your son, you know, the first, I don't know, see if this is your experience, okay? The first year when we lose someone, every experience is new. Right, because this is the first time we've done this without him. This is the first time we've gone there without him. I mean, as small as this is the first time we've had his favorite dinner without him.
Oh yeah, oh that was a big one. Yeah.
Yes, and yeah. So that first year, everything is new. We're running every day, every life experience passed, and now he's not here, right? The second year, it changes a little bit, because we've gone through most of the kind of anniversaries, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, so this is not the first of this holiday that he hasn't been here. So over time, those kinds of things alter. If we're staying present to the grieving process as it kind of goes the way a grieving process goes. But in my experience anyway, there is no time limit on grieving. So, you know, my mother died when I was 18, which is a lot of years ago. And still, there will be a moment where the memory of her is so fresh, and the pain that goes with that loss is as present as it was those many years ago.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So it really is a matter, to me anyway, of staying present with what is so right now. And of course, I know you know this better than probably most anybody, that conditioning would wants us, when we experience a huge loss, it wants us to just experience that loss 24 hours a day, every day of our lives for the rest of our lives. That's what loving that person means. I can never be happy again because that person is not here. And that's not how life works. It's just not true.
No. No, and I so have that experience, yeah.
Yeah, and we go along and we're with friends or it's a beautiful day or whatever is going on, and we are happy. And then the conditioning will come in and say, how could you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not the same as that pang of intense pain when it does drop in that, he would have loved this, or, whatever, they suddenly, it's his favorite song that's playing, or... They're different. They're such different experiences when it's a part of life and when it's coming from karmic conditioning.
Yeah, I think that feels really... it's so hard to use the words to describe what I'm hearing you say, and then at the same time I'm feeling like, what that is in my body, because today I was cleaning out something, and of course there were things from him in there too, and I was like, I can't just, chuck this out right now, and at the same time I'm like, I know this is not you, it's just, a material thing. I don't just want to be rid of it and make that decision now all by myself without giving my husband the opportunity to, detach
or maybe you're just not ready.
Yeah.
Right? That's legit too. I see in movies especially, somebody dies and 2 days later, they're just clearing everything they ever that they owned and taking it off to thrift. I mean, if that works for a person, that's great. But I believe in a lot of permission. Right?
What does that mean? I believe in a lot of permission.
Just permission to do this any way you need to do it.
Oh, permission. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. Yeah, permission.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's never happened to us before, so how can we have any idea about how we should be doing it? Only conditioned mind would tell us there's a way we should be doing something that we've never in our lives even imagined that we would have to do.
Is it a way to tell then in the moment that, I was overwhelmed with this, really body sensation, the pain? And then after I sort of, permitted myself to, clean it out and put it back, I was fine again. It subsided. The avalanche of feeling. And then I was like, okay, another time, another moment. Fine.
Yes, and that's really the point that I want to make. When there's an avalanche and it subsides, when the sensations calm down, when the pain passes and we get back to some kind of equilibrium, then I would be pretty optimistic that that's a real life experience. When the pain comes and it never changes.
Okay.
When I'm suspicious that it's being fueled by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
You know what? This is just it is so true, and it is so true that life offers you exactly what you need experience right now, because I can relate to this. This is it. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Oh, you are so welcome. Can you go back to sleep? Or are you gonna stay with us?
I think I'll listen.
All right.
Yeah.
Stay with
Thank
us.
You
okay.
very much.
Gusho. You are so welcome. All right, Gusho, to you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Esther. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we're going to hear from our sponsor now, Sherry, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Okay, next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Tracy.
Hey! Hi. Gosh, long time no hear your voice. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay, and it's no surprise I got through tonight because I am sharing the same process that the other two callers are calling in on, so I'm really smiling right now.
Wow, it's going around, huh?
It's going around. Yes, it is, and Sherry, I am aware that I call in always when I'm suffering. And before I tell you about my process around suffering, I just want to say I was just with my family, and I see them once a year as a family, and I've told you before this karmic relationship I have with my mom, that she always comments on my appearance. And when I arrived this year, after I was there for a couple hours, she looked at me and she said, "Wow, you look really healthy." And it just felt so good. And it made me just, like, that was like a compliment that I really could take in. And, you know, I just said to her, "Gosh, you know, I'm really happy. And, you know, I'm just taking really good care of myself." And, you know, it was so incredible. She, later on in that week, she told me that she wants to learn how to meditate.
Wow.
So I thought that would be a fun thing to share.
Wow, yes. That's amazing. You know, we assume we know what relationships are, what they're about, but often
yes.
We have no idea.
It's great. It's really incredible, and it's, you know, I have so much fun with them, and, you know, it's gone from being such a place of watching judgment and conditioning and feeling bad I have judgment, and really the more that I can live from that place of, you know, lightness and, you know, just, you know, having some space in this journey, you know, the more that I can really just be there. So that's really, really great.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the ways that, I don't know if you would say it this way, but I think for a lot of us, as we practice and as karmic conditioning and self-hate fall away, we find that we like ourselves better.
Yes.
And when we like ourselves better, miraculously, other people seem to like us better.
Yes. Yes, and then you kind of... You lose that whole charge of it doesn't even matter if people like you because you're enjoying your own company.
That's right. You like you, you like them. It's
yes.
All good. Yeah.
It's all,
so
yeah.
What else is going on, Tracy?
Well, you know, I call usually every time this year because, you know, my karma, or it's just, you know, the person I'm in a relationship with is, we live in the same place 7 months of the year, and then we're apart for five. And I just, we just did that transition, and he's not here. And we were sharing living space this last year, and so the absence feels really strong.
Big hole.
Yeah, it's a big hole, and in preparation for the hole, you know, I just, you know, communicated, you know, can we even just, you know, text each other just one time a day or something that felt realistic, and I just watched going into a tailspin when I didn't hear from him for a few days, and it was so great, you know, working with an awareness coach is just it's just incredible, and, you know, what I'm seeing is, you know, even in my best intention of trying to take care of this being, that I have to let go of the that expectation. I want to think it's an intention, but it is an expectation is going to be met. And and it was interesting in the last few days. I see where I am, you know, and I'm aware of that. I mean, beauty's all around me, and I have two kittens, and I mean, I'm really, really good. And then, you know, but the feeling and then the enticement to go into story, it's all here. And so it felt like, you know, directing my attention, like I'd pick up my recorder of like, you know, oh my gosh, it's gorgeous. Actually, I'm looking at a rainbow right now. And
all you people who are getting rain,
I know.
Just yeah. kiss the ground.
And there's the dark darkness and the light. And so anyway, it was interesting, Sherry, and I think this was the main thing I wanted to get some encouragement on or see if I'm in, I don't know, but in the process of directing the attention, you know, on, okay, where are my feet, my breath, you know, beauty, you know, all the things that are working. It felt like that was going on, and I was aware of, you know, everything, and it felt like it was a place of, I couldn't drop it. It was all still there, like the you know, story wanting to get, you know, or the sensations, and then I'll just keep going, and then you can. And so anyway, I went for a hike today, and it was so crazy gorgeous where I was, and you know, really just trying to take that in, which was really wonderful. And I was driving home, and I got so overtaken by feeling that I had to pull off on the side of the road, and I just had a huge cry, and it felt like there wasn't even. It just felt like a. Super deep cry of like, I could, there's nothing I can count on. And
there's nothing you can count on. Is that what you said?
Yeah, there's nothing I can count on, because I think my conditioning wants to, you know that this relationship's okay and I'm going to be okay. And I think when I got through that cry, you know, there was a feeling of, you know, I am going to be okay with whatever happens, and like, I do know that, and I think all this other stuff, or even maybe even trying to direct the attention to get away from the feelings, maybe even kept me maybe in it longer. I don't know. That's what I want to ask.
Okay. All right then.
Okay.
You know, I've known you for a lot of years, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so, I don't like to bring up people's past, especially on a radio show, but I'm going to, because I'm going to say something to you that could sound very strange okay?
Okay.
And so what I've watched is over the years for you to, let's see, I'll just cut to toss people out of your life almost before they could get into your life.
Yes.
Does that seem like a fair assessment?
Yes.
Okay. So one thing that I'm
just
hoping...
Like my,
that's why
I was just going to say, Sherry, just like my family.
Aha. funny, huh, how that sort of thing happens, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So just to take in how extraordinarily wonderful it is to love so deeply.
Yes. Thank you for saying that.
Because, you know, people can manage to run away from it their whole lives.
Yeah.
Now, all of those old saws about, when you love that deeply, it's painful. It's going to hurt at some point. It's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And that is true. You know, if we keep our hearts closed, we can be in controlled pain our entire lives and probably a really good amount of suffering. But when we open ourselves up and we just love wholeheartedly, then, what comes with it is there's going to be a lot of pain down the road somewhere. Okay?
Yeah.
So there is. I mean, something's going to happen. One of you is going to go. I mean, unless you get really lucky and you go together, right? But the odds are not good that that's going to happen. And with everything else that we love, it's passing. It's fleeting. It's all so brief. And so to actually consciously use these kinds of moments to get how fleeting this is and what is ahead of us if we're going to keep our hearts open and love as much as we can love.
Wow. Yes. Oh, Shay, this is so what I needed to hear. And it's just so, I'm kind of teary right now. It's so affirming because I don't know that my mentor could have gotten this with my own mentor. there is, my heart feels really wide open. I think, because of practice and, I've got these great animals around. And so
it's a beautiful life and you're sensitive to it. And now you've really let another grown-up human being in.
Yes.
Right? So you had all those other things, right? You've always lived in a beautiful place. Well, I mean, since I've known you. And you've always had beautiful animals that you love and great friends that you love and great activities that you love and not so much with the adult human being. and now there's this experience. Now you have this. And so part of that is, and this is perfectly consistent with everything else we've talked about tonight, although it might not sound like it, when that hits, you just pull over to the side of the road and cry your eyes out, and then you wipe those tears and get to a place, as you said, where, and I'm fine.
Yes.
It's fine. Hurts like hell when it hurts, and it passes, and the hurt is fine, and the fine is fine.
Yes. Thank you, Shay. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
So what I needed to hear. And yes, he's a really, really good person. I just, I was sensitive to it the moment we met. He's just, goodness comes out of his cells. And so I'm really super grateful to have this opportunity.
Yeah.
And I don't like to let conditioning sabotage it.
Thank you. Yeah. You are so welcome. Take good care of yourself. Good night.
Thank you. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Tracy. Wow, that was a great call, Sherry. Thank you for that.
Love is good.
And I think we have time for another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Holly.
Hello, Holly.
Hi, I've This is my first time calling.
Well, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
What's going on?
I have attended a local group that sits together and gets guidance from the monastery and listens to, sometimes we listen to this very program together, but uh-huh. mostly we do a reading and sit, or that's what was sort of the agenda until a couple months ago, and then the format of what we do together changed. And I'm
what
not,
do you do now?
Now what we do is the one thing that changed also besides listening to the thing that changed is we used to do reflective listening with the leader.
Uh-huh.
You know, one person we would talk to the leader and then she'd reflect back. We don't do that anymore, any of that, and that's okay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I'm having trouble with what we're doing instead.
What are you doing instead?
Is like reading aloud, kind of chanting. I guess it's called a rosary. It's a certain, you know, whatever.
Well, the daily recollection.
I guess, yeah. And I'm really uncomfortable with the parts that are not in English.
Oh,
It's like, why are we doing this? And a lot of this is because I've been to a couple other Zen teachers. I had one that I, you know, adored. She's dead now, Charlotte Joko Beck.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, a couple others since then who, a big part of why I kind of left them was because of the reasons given for why they chanted in languages other than English.
Uh-huh.
What'd they
say, Holly, so I can avoid saying something really stupid?
Well, I want you to be honest, of course. but kind of what they said was it's like the reason for doing it just didn't make any sense to me. It would be either,
yes.
in the worst case, it was, well, these sounds in this particular language, saying these things in this language, it's almost magical. You know, like you're making these noises, it is.
Okay, let me tell you something, Holly. Let me tell you something, right. First of all, the reason that I would give you is because it honors a tradition.
Okay.
That's kind of it. You know, Zen has been all over the world, and it started very, very long ago in another part of the world, as you well know.
Yeah.
And these are kind of the touchstones. These are the, you know, this takes us back. It can. It does me anyway. It takes me back to a realization that 2,500 years ago, this guy had these realizations, and this is the language that he used to talk about it, and that is meaningful to me. Now, it doesn't have to be meaningful to anybody else, but it is meaningful to me because I like that sense of when I look at Sangha, I love the sense when we are sitting together, we're walking together, that this has been going on for as long as there have been human beings that we know about. And so it's that, I just like that. But aside from that, the piece that I would really like to speak to with you, if you're open to this, is if we think when we come to spiritual practice, to awareness practice, that we have the picture, we're kind of in trouble.
That we have the picture.
Yes, that when we look at, you know, if I look inside and I'm hearing in my head, you know, I like it. You know, I really prefer it when Buddhists eat brown rice.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting for me to know that I have that preference. But if I take it very seriously, I'm going to stay stuck.
Right.
There.
Okay.
You know that.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not the... Go ahead.
You know, it, so if those words gave you an opportunity to get past the things need to be a certain way for me to be all right, those words would have done their job.
Which words?
Those Sanskrit and Pali words.
Okay, go ahead.
You have this opportunity to come up against this, I need things to be a certain way for me to be all right.
I don't think that's 100% it.
Hmm.
I mean,
sure it's not.
Okay.
But I bet it's part of it, don't you?
Oh, I'm sure it's part of it. I'm sure it's part
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, and
mm-hmm. And you get to explore that.
Right. The I think of the saying, "Put no head above your own."
Mm-hmm.
And I also kind of think of, if you remember in George Orwell's book, you have somebody holds up, you know, whatever, the torturer holds up two fingers. The person who's being tortured is asked, how many fingers am I holding up? And the guy who's being tortured, you know, is being honest, says, well, I see two. And wrong answer. You know, then the guy holds up three fingers. And, you know, and so, the person and asks, how many fingers am I holding up? And, you know, so the guy who's being tortured figures, well, I better not tell him what I really see. I'll try and tell him what he wants to hear. So what I'm getting at is, it's okay with me if things don't always make perfect sense to me. I mean, I know that's not how life is.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you know, if somebody holds up four fingers, I'll say, well, I see four fingers. And so I guess what I can do sort of with chanting in languages other than English is, well, to me that doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. To me, it looks like, well, this is silly. This
Holly,
is kind of a waste of, but other people
Holly,
like it.
Holly,
uh-huh.
Can you add one thing on that? This
Go.
Doesn't do anything for me now.
Okay.
Yeah, because who can say down the road what this might reveal for you, should you decide to continue to do it?
Right.
Because we can all, I would bet, look back over our lives at the things that at any particular juncture were not meaningful or, you know, whatever. And then we look back and we realize what that was for us. So to have an attitude of mind, my God, especially with Zen, of, well, you know, I really don't know. I don't know.
I don't know attitude. I can do that, definitely. Sort of, it's magical or it's traditional.
Yeah, those are not as good a reasons.
Yeah, I mean... It's okay for me. It's fine to do it because it works for other people, and you know, life doesn't revolve around me. And it you know, it's like, okay, other people want to do this and find this helpful. And
well,
okay.
yes, but the point that I would like you to consider is to be open to it, not just, well, it's fine, other people like it, so, because that's closing a door. But here's the way it, for me, this would be the approach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't see it, so I'd like to know what the heck they're seeing that I'm not seeing. What is it? What is it about that? You know, what is it in a non-separate reality? What experience are they having that I'm not having?
Yeah. I mean, and for you, the experience you're having is you like the connection to the history.
Yes, but you can imagine that when I first encountered it, I didn't.
Oh,
it took me a long time to have a sense of what the Buddha taught and the power of that and what that's meant for the world, and to watch it change my life and change other people's lives, and to have a sense of Sangha and all that goes with that, which then opened me actually to all people having their experience of whatever that is for them. So we open to what feels holy to us, and we can have a sense of an experience of holiness. Hymns don't move me at all, but I can tell that a lot of the world is deeply, profoundly moved by coming together and singing hymns together.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just figured they're kind of having the same experience that I'm having when I recite the daily recollection. I don't know if that's true, but I like to think it is.
Hmm.
So it might be fun to see if you can recite it and feel your heart open.
Yeah. I guess I am going to, you know, I'm sure I'm going to continue to think about this, you know, or let whatever.
Be open to it.
Yeah, be open to it. I guess I have objections from kind of people liking the magical part of it. It's like, it let's play Zen. I don't know how to describe it. I mean,
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like you understand the magic? Do you experience the magic?
I think sitting has been very, very helpful, and I've gone on retreats, and I think that's very powerful.
But do you experience the magic?
I guess I don't believe in magic.
Okay, well, that would be a great place to look.
Is what, the not believing in magic?
Well, we don't have to believe in things for them to be real.
Right.
But often we don't believe in things, so we don't have to be open to their reality. I think we're past time. I'm surprised Michael hasn't sounded a bell and cut us off.
No.
But I'd love to continue this conversation if you would.
Oh, I would like to if you're offering that. I would like. I very much like to.
Good. All right.
I didn't think that was an option.
We'll find some magic.
Yeah, I'm. So I get. I assume, if I understand correctly, you want to continue the conversation right now?
No. I'd love to continue the conversation right now, but I have to go to group at the monastery in a few minutes. Well, I don't have to. I get to go to group at the monastery in a few minutes, so
right.
I must away. But I'm here every Tuesday night.
Okay.
Darn near. Okay.
Okay. So I can call.
Very good. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Good.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Holly. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. A great pleasure to have you with us tonight, Sherry. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you and have you with us, Michael. Let's do it again.
All right. I will talk to you then.
All right. Thanks. Good night.
Good night.